on this episode of RevHang.
Red Bull has been struggling this year thanks to a certain unnamed driver who we never throw shade at.
Yeah, no, you're right. I don't even have to know anything about what I'm talking about, but I know you're right.
I'm not going to get into the technical details of how that works because I have no idea.
Not to get political, but invading other countries is bad, okay?
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RevHang. It has been a while, but we are back. There was no mid-season review podcast like we promised, unfortunately, but life has been a little nuts for myself especially, and probably Ben as well.
It's been a little crazy.
Speaking of Ben, he is our co-host, Ben Bagley. How are you doing, Ben?
Wow, that sounded like a therapist. Like, how are you doing? How are you really doing?
How do you feel today?
I feel tired because I had to work, and I'll continue to have to work for the rest of my life, and that fact crushes on me every day of my life. Aside from that, pretty good. Pretty good.
Awesome. Other than adulting, things are going good.
Existential crisis of continued existence. Yeah, and the fact that I don't have a Corvette. Between those two things. But, no, it's good.
Can't complain too much.
Can't complain. I get to go backpacking next weekend for my best man's bachelor party, so that'll be exciting.
Very exciting stuff. All right, let's jump right in. We'll start with our mini mid-season review, since we want to give you something. So, let's talk about season so far, starting with IndyCar and moving on to Formula One. So, IndyCar, short and sweet, Alex Palou. Still on form this season, has won several races, and has a pretty solid lead in the championships. Not quite wrapped up yet, but he's in a good spot.
Yeah, I was going to say he's continuing to be the Max Verstappen of IndyCar, but I almost feel like he's more consistent than Max is right now.
Yeah, probably.
Well, consistent as you can be for IndyCar.
Right. Yeah, he's very, very consistent, always near the top of the table, and scoring big points every week, which is what you need to do in IndyCar. Don't necessarily need to win every race, but that sure helps.
Yep.
All right, Joseph Newgarden won the Indy 500 this year, the big event in IndyCar. One of the two races he has won so far this year, three if you count the one he cheated in.
Hey, he didn't know that there is still a rule against using push to pass on restarts. He thought it was changed.
He did claim ignorance. But anyway, so he won the 500. He also won in Iowa, I believe, one of the races. So he's having an okay season. Not the best for Newgarden's standard, but not terrible. He's still a very good driver.
Not exactly fighting willpower for the championship this year.
Right. But as far as IndyCar goes, that's kind of all the big stuff. It's been, I'd say the season hasn't been as good as, like, the last couple, but it hasn't been terrible.
It's been great if you're a Herta bro.
This is true. Herta's having a great season. I think part of it for me is there's been so much movement in the driver market, it's just kind of hard to keep track of who's
just
driving where.
Up. Thanks, McCoy.
Yeah, it seems like this year, more than any other year previous, it's just been driver swaps constantly. So there is that, but that makes it a little more interesting every week, since there's a new driver on the track every week, it seems.
Like watching MotoGP again.
Yeah. All right, our mini mid-season review for Formula One. Red Bull has been struggling this year thanks to a certain unnamed driver who we never throw shade at.
No, I don't even know what driver you'd be talking about. Tsunoda? I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, Red Bull is not doing super hot. They are leading the championship currently, so I guess I can't say they're not doing... I can't say that, but... they have definitely fallen off quite a bit since the beginning of the year, with McLaren having a resurgence of sorts and they have probably the fastest car. I mean, I don't think that's even arguable right now. McLaren has the fastest car on the grid. And Mercedes also very quick right now. They kind of took them until about the midseason to find their stride, but once they did, they've been pretty consistently challenging for the top spots.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to see a little competition. Did I ever send you the speculation that after Miami there was some brakes regulation that was passed through? And that's like, that was Red Bull's special sauce, with some kind of inertial brake switch or something like that to change brake bias going into corners.
Yeah, you did send that to me. It was a pretty interesting system. It's like a hydraulic, I don't know if it was brake bias. I mean, I kind of was, but it was more lateral than forward to back.
I mean, that could be brake bias.
Right. So, I'm not going to get into the technical details of how that works, because I have no idea.
Essentially, it make car oversteer one corner.
Yes. seemed to help the Red Bull a lot. They probably will bounce back next year once they get a new system implemented, but I can imagine that when a large chunk of their car was based around that system and it was outlawed, that probably caused a lot of issues.
Yep.
And I think Miami is around the time when Red Bull started falling off. So, I mean, Lando won that race.
That's probably about the time that Adrian Newey decided he was going to leave. So, like, Adrian Newey conspiracy, like, as he decides he wants to leave, he's not going to leave yet, but he decides he wants to, and he goes to the FIA. He's like, hey, there's a team. I don't know which one, but I think they're using like a little loophole for their brakes to make them corner better. I think you should make a regulation against that. And then he leaves. Yeah. Chaos.
Then up and leaves. Yeah. So who knows there? But yeah, Red Bull's definitely been falling back. McLaren is on the charge. Mercedes is on the charge. Ferrari's kind of still Ferrari. Some other news. Logan Sargeant is continuously destroying his Williams every week, it seems. He's not been doing too great.
The seat is gone, so he figures the car might as well be too.
Yeah, there are major rumors circulating in the F1 world that Logan Sargeant will be replaced by next week in Monza. So
really, that early?
That's what they're saying, that the Netherlands might have been his last race. I don't know if that's the case. Generally in F1, where there's smoke, there's fire, but that really also hasn't been the case this year. If that was true, Verstappen would have moved to Mercedes, and
Perez would not be in F1.
Perez would not be in F1 anymore. Daniel Ricciardo would be winning the world championship. You know, all those things. So this year's been kind of weird. Usually the rumors tend to be true in Formula One, but this year that's not been the case. So we'll see what happens. But if Logan Sargeant gets replaced by Monza, I wouldn't be too terribly surprised, considering they have two options on the table. One of them is Mick Schumacher. The other one, I don't remember who the other one is, but I know they have two people they're looking at. I think Mick Schumacher and a Williams would be pretty sweet.
That'd be interesting.
It would be. See how he does against Albon.
Yeah, that'd be a good guess.
The problem is, for whoever takes that Williams seat, they're really only getting the last half of the season, because Carlos Sainz has already been signed into that second seat for next year.
Sainzed.
Yeah, he was signed. So it'll be interesting to see who they choose. I could see it being Schumacher. I could see it being an F2 driver, somebody. I don't know.
I guess we'll find out. And
we will.
Is the next race next week?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Next race is next week. Yeah, we had a month off, and now we got a doubleheader. Crazy stuff.
And then another month off, right?
No, I think we got a couple more races, and then we get another month off. Usually it's October, so I think it's most of October. We don't have a race, and then at the end of the month, we get Austin. That's usually how it goes. But I think before that is Azerbaijan and maybe Singapore.
Singapore, yeah.
Yeah. And then probably a break before Austin, and then the rest of North America and Brazil and Abu Dhabi, Qatar, all those tracks. It's weird that Japan's not at the end of the calendar this year. I'm like looking forward to the Japanese Grand Prix, but it's like, oh, that happened months ago.
Yeah.
So, and then it's also strange that Azerbaijan is this late in the year. Like, the next race after Monza is Azerbaijan. That's very
Some
odd.
weird shakeups.
Yeah. But anyway, let's move on. That is our mid-season review. So in depth, I know. But let's move on to some
that's
paddock
all you
news.
Need to know.
Yeah. Paddock news, all we got this week is Jack Doohan is going to Alpine. He's been their reserve driver for quite some time, has been in Formula 2 for quite some time, and he's finally getting the call up, so good for him.
Cool to see an actual reserve driver get called up to take a spot at the team they're reserve driver for.
Right. I feel like in recent history, if you get signed as a reserve driver, it means you're never going to drive an F1 ever.
Yeah, unless you're Nico Hülkenberg, and then you have to wait 5 years.
Right. I mean, Piastri was Alpine's reserve driver, I think. And
Who
then
knows
he got
about
poached.
The contract with Piastri?
Yeah, and then who else has gotten in? I mean, other than in a reserve role, because I know, like, Felipe Drugovich was... I think he started either this year or last year. He started the season because someone was injured for Aston Martin, but he never became full-time. Stoffel Van Dorn used to be full-time. Now he's a Mercedes reserve driver.
Kubica got a race 2 years ago with
what's
Alpha.
That?
Right?
Which one?
Kubica.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but he was also a full-time driver for years and years and years.
I guess that's a good point.
Yeah, but he got to drive for Alfa Romeo in Monza, I think. I think Kimi Raikkonen was out or something like that. That was a while ago. That was for Alfa Romeo, yeah.
That brings me back to my younger days.
Do you remember when Alfa Romeo was a thing? Yeah. All right, let's move into IndyCar. We got two races to talk about this week. We did not get our predictions in time for St. Louis, so those predictions at the end of the episode will not be present. But we do have them for Portland. Anyway, St. Louis, oval, big oval, lopsided oval, interesting track.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. Qualifying top 10 were McLaughlin, Lucas, Newgarden, Power, Kirkwood, Grosjean, Ericsson, O'Ward, Daly, and Armstrong. Connor Daly with a P9, his first race back in IndyCar. Good stuff for him. Oh, that is some news I don't know if we have actually covered yet. It's been so long. What's his name? Agustin Canapino is no longer driving at Tunkus Hollinger Racing. He was replaced by Connor Daly. I think we did go over this briefly.
Maybe.
Yeah, there was some drama surrounding him and his fans, and I think they just didn't want any more of it. So, unfortunately for him, he is no more. He wasn't, you know, always the most competitive driver, though, so I'm sure that had something to do with it as well. All right, let's go into the race highlights. McLaughlin maintained the lead at the beginning of the race. Connor Daly was taken out early on after I just sang his praises. It wasn't his fault, though. Newgarden clawed his way through the field. On lap 196, Newgarden spun out but managed to keep his car out of the wall. He was also, like, a lap ahead of everybody else, so he actually stayed in P2 after having a spin. With 25 laps to go, Power sent Malukas into the wall, ending his race. Newgarden took the lead on pit strategy with a crazy pit stop. 5-second pit stop in IndyCar. Absolutely wild.
Yeah.
There was a big crash on a restart involving Rossi, Power, and Grosjean, the usual suspects. And Joseph Newgarden ended up bringing it home. So Newgarden with another win under his belt. So, results of the race. Newgarden won, followed by McLaughlin and Lundqvist on the podium. Alex Blow was 4th, and Colton Herta was 5th. 6 through 10 were Rosenqvist, Siegel, Armstrong, Stingray, Robb in P9. Rinus VK in 10th. 11th through 15 were Dixon, Ferrucci, Daly, Fittipaldi, and Lingard. 16 through 20 were Grosjean, Carpenter, Power, Rossi, and Harvey. 21 through 25 were Malukas, Kirkwood, Ray Hall, Erickson, and Simpson. And 26 and 27 were Pato O'Ward and Catherine Legg.
I feel like it got really dark in my room as soon as you said Stingray Rob got ninth place. That was super weird.
Yeah, that's probably, I think that's his best result maybe ever.
Ever, yeah.
Like, it sounds bad to say, but I think that's actually true.
You're right. I don't even have to know anything about what I'm talking about, but I know you're right.
I don't think he's ever gotten a top 10 before, so progress, baby.
Yeah, there you go. First Sergio right. Perez.
All right, let's move on to Portland. Grand Prix of Portland.
Love the Grand Prix of Portland.
Ferrucci. What's that?
Love the Grand Prix of Portland.
Oh, of course. It's the best race on the calendar purely because it's 100 miles from my house. It's
the only race.
The only race within 100 miles of my house. All right. Santino Ferrucci ended up with pole position to everybody's surprise. The supervillain of IndyCar taking
Reddit's
the top
favorite
step.
Driver.
Yeah. Grosjean's favorite driver. All right. Ferrucci on pole, followed by Power and Palou. Fourth and fifth were Lundgaard and Newgarden. 6 through 10 were Grosjean, Armstrong, Herta, Dixon, and Ericsson. 11 through 15 were Kirkwood, Ray Hall, Fittipaldi, McLaughlin, and VK. 16 through 20, we had Yuri Vips in 16th taking over for somebody. There's so many driver swaps, I don't even know anymore. Christian Rasmussen.
Every single time Yuri Vips filled in for somebody at Portland, I'd have two nickels.
Which is, it's not a lot, but it's weird this happened twice.
It is weird that it's happened twice.
Yeah. Christian Rasmussen in 17th, Rossi, Rosenqvist, and Sowery. 21 through 25 were Lundqvist, O'Board, Siegel, Stingray Rob, and Malukas. 26 through 28 were Simpson, Daly, and Harvey. Jack Harvey still on the grid somehow. The most anonymous man in racing.
Hey, as long as he's paying the bills, get after it, bud.
Yeah, that's true. All right, going through the race, Will Power took the lead from Ferrucci into turn one. Fittipaldi took Dixon out on lap one. Palou passed Ferrucci on lap eight for P2. Fittipaldi spun Daly out on lap 24. Fittipaldi just an absolute missile that race. Grosjean spun and stalled on lap 62, doing Grosjean things, sending him to the back of the field, and then he decided he wanted to do more Grosjean things and rejoined the track right in front of Marcus Armstrong, causing a massive accident. We see the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah.
And Power ended up taking home the win. I say that, but actually I was thinking about this earlier. Grosjean has had a remarkably consistent season, and seems to have found his stuff now. What?
Sorry, Ponderosa is deciding to test out her bark right now.
Ah, I see. But, dog things.
Yeah, I think I muted most of it.
Okay, that's fine. But anyway, yeah, Grosjean has actually had a much better season this year. Nothing crazy, no podiums, no pole positions. But less crashes.
He's at Junco's Hollinger. Junco's Jollinger? Junco's Hollinger?
Something like that.
Junco's Jollinger.
That one. but a lot less crashing this season. And I think that's exactly what he needs. Just to get his confidence back, you know. He's fast. And I think he still has the potential to win races. Maybe not with Junco's Hollinger, but... I really want that guy to win a race before he retires. That's all I'm asking for.
I feel like he needs a couple of years to learn from Scott Dixon on how to race an IndyCar.
Yeah. He needs that Cinderella story ending, I think.
That'd be kind
of cool. I mean, I guess he is the Phoenix, so he's kind of got his story, but, I would love to see
another story about him winning. That would also be cool.
Yeah, rather than crashing and almost dying in a crazy fire.
Yeah.
Anyway, results of the race. Will Power won, followed by Palou and Newgarden on the podium. Herta and Armstrong were 4th and 5th. 6 through 10 were Erickson, McLaughlin, Ferrucci, Ray Hall, Kirkwood. 11 through 15 were VK, Rossi, Lundgaard, Rosenqvist, and O'Ward. 16 through 20 were Simpson, Sowery, Rob, Vips, and Malukas. 21 through 25 were Siegel, Daly, Lindqvist, Harvey, and Fittipaldi. And 26 through 28 were Rasmussen, Grosjean, and Dixon.
Poor Dixon.
So, that is that. Kind of talking points. We got power in the championship picture, a mere 54 points behind Alex Palou, which sounds like a lot, but that's just over a race win. So if we get a Palou DNF and a willpower win, yeah, this becomes very spicy going into the last three races of the season.
Another power Palou fight for the championship.
Love to see it. And then also, Colton Herta is a quiet contender. He hasn't really done too much notable this year, except for be like top five every race.
He's gotten some great recovery drives, some really poor positions in qualifying.
This is true. He's had some really good recoveries.
Yeah, he's been pretty solid on ovals compared to not being solid on ovals before.
For sure.
Yeah, he's done much better with strategy and just not overdriving the car late in the race when he's, you know, running low on grip or tires or anything like that.
Yeah. He is 67 points behind Alex Palou in the lead, so it is possible he would still have to pass willpower, which isn't as difficult in terms of plausibility. But if Palou DNFs, this championship is wide open.
That'd be crazy.
So
it's possible.
Yeah, for sure.
Unfortunately, if another weird race restart from Romain Grosjean, we'd be good to go.
Yeah, right. Unfortunately for Scott Dixon, he has kind of fallen out of championship contention. He is a full 101 points behind Alex Palou. After that DNF in Portland, his championship hopes have kind of gone with his car into the wall. So unfortunate for him, but you know, he's won the championship like seven times, so
he can
can't feel too bad for him.
A little bit, yeah.
Going into the championship standings, considering we missed our mid-season review, we will go through all of it. First through fifth are Alex Palou, Will Power, Colton Herta, Scott McLaughlin, and Scott Dixon. 6 through 10 are O'Ward, Newgarden, Kirkwood, Rossi, and Ferrucci. 11 through 15, we have Rosenqvist, Lundgaard, Armstrong, Ericsson, and VK. 16 through 20 is Rahal, Grosjean, Lindqvist, Rob, and Fittipaldi. 21 through 25 is Simpson, Siegel, Rasmussen, Canapino, and Malukas. 26 through 30 is Harvey, Porcher, Daly, Blomqvist, and Sowery. 31 through 35 are Carpenter, Ilott, Legg, Giotto, and Castroneves. 36 through 40 are Larson, Sato, Vadier, Vips, and Braun. And 41 through 43 are McElroy, Hunter Ray, and Marco Andretti. Marco Andretti, yes.
The fact that the entire family is Mario, Michael.
Yeah.
Marco.
All of them.
You've got a monopoly on the M names that are vaguely Italian.
Yeah. So, yeah. 43 individuals have raced an IndyCar this season, and that is nuts.
Yeah, that is insane.
The fact that Kyle Larson is in 36th place is wild to me. but it is that is the case.
Is it even crazier that Stingray Rob is now in the top 20?
That is pretty nuts. yeah.
Leapfrogged so many drivers just from getting a 9th place finish.
Right. All right. Formula One Dutch Grand Prix. Let's move into F1, everybody's favorite motorsport. Not true, but, you know, it is ours.
Easy
so.
Well, I'm willing to give it half and half. I really like IndyCar.
IndyCar is very solid.
Like WEC. I don't watch WEC as much, but when I do watch it, I'm always sucked in.
I will say the most fun, like, the best racing to watch is probably Miata Cup. Like, those are always bonkers.
Probably true, actually.
Yeah,
or one of the smaller touring championships is always fun.
Yeah, I like watching rally on boards too. Mm. That's just different kind though.
Yeah, I watch. I like watching like the 15-minute clip shows on YouTube of the cool rally stuff.
Yeah, rallycross is a lot of fun to watch too. Anyway, That
what were we talking about?
Sidebar, oh, yeah. Formula One. You know, what started this podcast. All right, qualifying for the Dutch Grand Prix on pole position was the man himself, Lando Norris, followed by Max Verstappen and Oscar Piastri. Fourth and fifth were Russell and Perez. 6-10 were Leclerc, Alonso, Stroll, Gasly, and Sainz. 11-15 were Tsunoda, Hülkenberg, Hamilton, Ricciardo, and Ocon. 16-20 were Bottas, Zhou, Sargeant, Albon, and Magnussen. Lewis Hamilton took a three-place grid penalty after impeding Perez in qualifying.
Perez could have won it if he didn't get impeded.
Sure. All right, so going into the race, not a ton happened. This was not the most exciting race, which is uncharacteristic for Zandvoort, which is usually pretty good. Verstappen took the lead from Norris at the start, and Norris then passed Verstappen again on lap 18 and pulled a sizable gap up to 20 seconds by the end of the race. Leclerc did undercut Piastri on lap 25 to take P3, and there was some back and forth in the midfield between all of the drivers. Too much to really go through on an individual basis, but in terms of excitement, wasn't too much. I may be biased because I did fall asleep about three quarters of the way through it, but that's okay.
You had to prep. You had a long day ahead of you.
I did, yes. We'll talk about that at the end of the episode.
Oh,
like maybe
an end credits scene in a Marvel movie.
All right. So results of the race: Lando Norris won by 22.8 seconds ahead of Max Verstappen. Leclerc was in third, followed by Piastri and Sainz. 6 through 10 were Perez, Russell, Hamilton, Gasly, and Alonso. 11 through 15 were Hülkenberg, Ricciardo, Stroll, Albon, and Ocon. 16 through 20 were Sargeant, Tsunoda, Magnussen, Bottas, and Zhou. Here we're both two laps down. Yikes.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm not looking forward to that hot sauce shot that is likely to happen now.
I actually got to buckle down and figure out what hot sauce I'm going to feed you.
Yeah, just don't injure me, please, Ben.
I don't take joy in, like, the ghost pepper sauces or anything like that. Like, I like them to still be tasty. I'll find a good one.
Yeah, give me a kick, but nothing wild. I'm taking a shot of it after all.
Yeah.
So, no Carolina Reapers.
I'll get you some bougie ice cream to eat afterward.
There we go. And we will record that, of course. That will be a thing that happens, whether it's on a podcast or we just have a standalone video that we add to a podcast. We'll get that done. All right. So Norris finally won another race after he should have won the last, like, 15.
Hey, Piastri won that fair and square. You know that.
So Lando is back on top. I'm sure that felt good. McLaren has been ridiculously quick last few weeks, and after this week they've brought many upgrades to the car that seem to have worked. His race starts are still abysmal, but he's got the car to make it up later on in the race. He's got a good team behind him. He's got the chops to do it. I don't know if he can win the championship. I mean, he can, but
mathematically
some things would have to go down.
Yeah.
So, yep, Logan Sargeant has continued to not be good. We talked about this a little earlier. He crashed in qualifying, destroying his car, ended up finishing 16th in the race, a lap down, and behind his teammate who started from the pit lane. Well, I guess he did start 19th, so that's not super crazy.
He out-qualified Albon.
Yep, he out-qualified Albon. All it took was an Albon disqualification for having a floor that was too wide.
Yep. See, Sargeant knew his floor was too wide, so it was a strategic decision to bend the cars and secure a 19th place.
Yep. It was all planned.
Yeah.
All right. So standings for Formula One we'll go through since it has been a minute. Max Verstappen is in first, followed by Lando Norris and Charles Leclerc. And then Piastri and Sainz. 6-10 are Hamilton, Perez, Russell, Alonso, and Stroll. Then we have 11-15, Hülkenberg, Tsunoda, Ricciardo, Gasly, and Behrman. 16 through 20 are Magnussen, Ocon, Albon, Zhou, and Sargeant. And in 21st place, coming in the back of the field, we've got the man, the myth, the legend, the mullet, Valtteri Bottas.
Yep.
Crazy to me
that Bottas is below Sargeant and Zhou.
Yes.
You're going to say the same thing, weren't you?
No, I was going to say it's crazy that Bearman is still ahead of, like, a quarter of the field.
Yeah, and he'll probably stay there for the rest of the season.
Esteban Ocon has 5 points this season. That doesn't seem possible.
Well, it seems like not a lot, but Pierre Gasly has 8.
Yes. I think it's just shocking to me how bad Alpine has been this year.
It feels like the midfield has expanded. Or no, it feels like the top of the field. No. What am I trying to say? It feels like we have a much bigger selection of... I don't know what I'm trying to say.
The top of the field is more competitive, and the midfield is more competitive. I think that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's less of a difference between midfield and top of the field, but a huge difference between that and the bottom of the field.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
So... Red Bull, McLaren, Ferrari, Mercedes are all in similar spots depending on the track, especially. I'd say McLaren is definitely the fastest at the moment. Ferrari and Mercedes kind of go back and forth, and Red Bull has been Max Verstappen. Max is in first, and Perez is in seventh. I saw something today that said that you shouldn't feel so bad about yourself today because you are closer to Perez than Perez is to Verstappen.
That is insane.
Verstappen has 295, Lando has 225, so there is a 70-point difference if Norris wins every race and Max comes in second in every race. Max will still win the championship by less than 7 points. Cough, cough, Hungary screwed Norris, confirmed.
Surely McLaren that depends on a lot. Surely not.
And it's not entirely true because there are sprint races still, and also that doesn't include fastest lap points. So Lando could still theoretically win the championship if he wins everything from here on out. He just has to channel his inner Verstappen.
Yeah.
And honestly, with McLaren's upward trajectory and Red Bull's plateau, I could see this getting competitive. I still think Max is going to pull it out. Like, I'm 90% sure Max has the championship wrapped up. But I could see Lando finishing within 20 to 30 points of Max by the end of the season.
Yeah.
That seems like a real possibility. So let's move into the team championship. We have Red Bull in first with 434, McLaren 30 points behind.
That's all it takes.
One race. And then Ferrari at 370. That's all it takes. Fourth and fifth are Mercedes and Aston Martin. 6 through 10 are RB or V-Carb or Cash App or whatever you want to call them. Then Haas, Alpine, Williams, and Sauber with a whopping 0 points. McLaren is almost certainly going to overtake Red Bull within the next two races. And honestly, looking at the points and how they lie right now, I could see Red Bull finishing third in the championship this year. Ferrari could pass Red Bull. Ferrari is only 64 points behind Red Bull right now. And there are 9 races left with 2 sprint races, I believe, maybe even 3. A Max Verstappen DNF is, like, earth-shattering for both championships. If you get a Max DNF and then a Lando win, like, all of a sudden this becomes really cool.
That'd be so sick.
Anyway, I'm getting excited. Calm me down, Ben.
We forgot to talk about Haas getting their stuff impounded by Russia.
Ah, thank you for reminding me.
Yep.
Yes. Haas had their cars literally seized by Uralkali or Uralkali or whatever. I don't know how you pronounce the
You're
name of that
okay?
company. It's the company that sponsored Haas in 2020 when Nikita Mazepin was driving.
And
Mazepin's
the
dad
company that
owns the
has
company.
ties to the Russian oligarchy?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, okay.
They apparently never got paid out what they were told they were going to be paid out, and so they literally seized Haas's cars and would not let them leave the Netherlands until they paid up, which they did finally. But it took some serious strong arming for them to do that.
Yeah, because does it even really matter? Because aren't most of that company's assets frozen anyways? Because Russia has decided to perform a 3-day military exercise in Ukraine for the past, what, 900 days?
Yeah, something along those lines. I don't want to
Maybe
get
not
too
900
political here,
days,
Ben.
but not to get political, but invading other countries is bad, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
South Park, good stuff.
Okay,
All
anyways.
right. Anyways, pit stop championship in first place in the Netherlands was Yuki Tsunoda with a time of 2.18 seconds. Not too fast for a first place, but it is what it is. Then we have Piastri, Sainz, Zhou, Leclerc, Ricciardo, Albon, Bottas, Verstappen, and Ocon in the points. Lando's fastest pit stop was a 3.1, and he won the race, so good on ya, bud.
Good on ya.
Good on ya. And Perez was in last with a 4.45 second pit stop. Right, standings for the pit stop championship. Sergio Perez is still the leader, followed by Verstappen, Leclerc, Hamilton, Sainz, Tsunoda, Piastri, Norris, Ocon, and Russell in the top 10. 11 through 21 are Ricciardo, Alonso, Gasly, Stroll, Zhou, Bottas, Albon, Hülkenberg, Sargeant, Magnussen, and Bearman. Teams, we got Red Bull on top. They've probably honestly. I don't think they've quite won the championship, but it's real close.
Yeah.
They have 411 points, and Ferrari is in second with 260. So that just gives you an idea of where things are at. So Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, Mercedes, RB, Alpine, Aston Martin, Sauber, Williams, and Haas. All right, moving on to the overtake of the week. I gave this one to Colton Herta.
There
Everybody
we
loves
go.
Colton Herta. He
No, that's
overtook
not true,
six
actually, I
cars.
found out,
No?
but
Okay. He overtook six cars on lap one of the Bomaruto Automotive Group 500 English, the Oval in St. Louis, or
yeah.
Madison, Illinois, I believe, is the technical town that it's in. It was crazy. It was right on the start at the first lap. He just got a better jump than everybody and was threading the needle for like half a lap. It was wild.
It was awesome. The onboard from that was riveting.
It really was. All right, weekly predictions. St. Louis, like we said, no predictions for that race. Pole position went to McLaughlin. Podium was Newgarden, McLaughlin, Lundqvist. And winning pit stops was four. All right, race results for Portland. Pole position in Portland. What did you predict, Ben?
Had power.
I had Lundgaard, and it went to Santino Ferrucci. Podium, what did you say, Ben?
I had Dixon, Palou, and Award.
I had Palou, Power, and Award. I got two of the three, you got one of the three.
Yeah, I can't
We
believe I
got.
managed. Aside from Palou, I managed to put two of the people who had arguably some of the worst races
Yeah.
of the GP.
Yeah.
There's literally videos of Pato Award pushing his car on the cooldown lap.
I know. All right. Winning number of pit stops, what'd you say, Ben?
It was three.
I said two, and it was three, so you got that one.
Finally.
All right. Moving on to Formula One, the Dutch Grand Prix. Remind everybody the top five. It was Norris, Verstappen, Leclerc, Piastri, and Sainz. What did you say, Ben?
I had Verstappen, Norris, Hamilton, Piastri, Russell, and Alonso as my dark horse.
I had Norris, Verstappen, Piastri, Leclerc, Sainz, and Tsunoda with as my dark horse. If I switched Leclerc and Piastri, I would have nailed it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. If I had switched Verstappen and Norris and Hamilton and somebody else, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a good week for me.
It's fine. All right, fastest lap. What did you say, Ben?
I had Piastri for this.
I had Verstappen, and it went to Lando Norris. Unsurprisingly, he won by 22 seconds. Driver of the day, what did you say?
Verstappen.
I said Piastri, and
say
once
it with
again,
me.
Lando Norris, one driver of the day. I am wearing my McLaren hat for this episode, so, you know, represent.
Chill.
All right. So let's move on to IndyCar for next week. There are two races in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Milwaukee Mile's back, baby.
Milwaukee Mile, long, long oval. I am actually excited. There's two races, so it'll be good. All right. Pole position, what do you have, Ben?
McLaughlin.
I have Newgarden.
Couple of
podium, what? Yeah, podium, what you got?
I'm giving it to Pelot, Dixon, and Power.
I have Newgarden, Pelot, and Grosjean. I'm bullish on Grosjean, I'll admit it.
I can tell. If we rewind half an hour in the podcast, we could talk about it more.
Yeah, this is his week. Maybe. Winning number of pit stops, what'd you say, Ben?
I'm going to give it 4.
I got 3. I cannot give you a single reason why. We haven't been to this track in forever.
Yeah, we have no ideas.
Yeah. All right, pole position for the second race. What do you say, Ben?
I'm bullish on Herta this time.
Herta. I got Pelot. Podium, what did you say?
I'm going to stack the Andretti boys with Herta and Ericsson, and then I've got Newgarden making a comeback.
I see. I have Power, O'Ward, and Dixon. All right. Winning number of pit stops. You're going 4 again. I'm going 3 again.
Why mess with a good thing?
Exactly. All right. Formula One Italian Grand Prix. Top 5. Give it to me, Ben.
Norris, Verstappen, Piastri, Sainz, Leclerc, and Stroll is my dark horse.
I think you're strolling at this point.
Dude, honestly, Stroll has kind of been cooking, question mark?
He's not been bad. He's not
been
horrible.
Worse. There are worse drivers. We've
there
said
are
could
worse
be
drivers.
Dark horse.
Stroll has been very anonymous this year.
He really has.
But,
I don't think
that's okay.
Bad for him, though.
No. He's not getting a lot of hate this year, so maybe it's a nice break for him.
Yeah.
All right. My top 5, I've got Norris, Piastri, Russell, Verstappen, and Hamilton with Albon as my dark horse.
Man,
I have reasoning.
Down there.
I have my reasons.
Oh, boy.
The
Are you
going to
wait
power
until
the
next podcast? Oh.
No, I'm not going to wait till the next podcast. But the Mercedes power unit is the best on the grid. It's not even really that close. And it is Monza. I got Norris and Piastri in the McLarens. Going 1-2, no problem. I don't think it's going to be close. I am going very specific with my predictions this week.
Okay.
Norris, Piastri might be close to each other, but I think they're going to be miles ahead of the rest of the field. Then I've got Russell in the McLaren or the Mercedes. Again, Mercedes power units, and Mercedes has been cooking with gas. So I've got Russell, and then I got Verstappen. I can't keep him out of the top 5. I'll give him 4th place. And then I got Hamilton.
Verstappen by sheer force of will.
Yeah. And then Albon is my dark horse because he has the weight reduction with no appendix and also a Mercedes power unit. So I am putting all of my cards in the Mercedes basket this week.
Wow.
And I'm not going to apologize for it, so don't ask me to, Ben.
Okay, yeah, but I'm going to ask about your fastest lap really quick, which is who?
My fastest lap is going to be Sergio Perez, and there is also
memeing.
A reason for that.
He's memeing.
I'm not memeing.
You're
no. Perez has become the sacrificial lamb. He's going to be so far back that it won't really matter. He might not even finish in the points. So why not just pit him to steal fastest lap from Norris? So it keeps it away from him.
If Norris is 20 seconds ahead, what is stopping him from getting fastest lap again?
But will he be 20 seconds ahead of Piastri? That's the question.
I don't know. Ask Zach Brown.
This is my prediction, Ben. Take it or leave it.
Okay. I'm giving my fastest lap to Piastri. That's why I was asking.
Fair. All right. Driver of the day. What you got?
Sainz.
I have Norris.
Okay. Let's see. Home team.
No.
Monza is like...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Ferrari.
I see.
I'm not saying
I thought you're talking about Norris.
Italian.
Oh, you're talking about Lando. I was like, there's nothing Italian about Lando Norris.
Lando Norris.
I mean, he wore like a pizza helmet one time, I think, but like...
Could you imagine wearing a pizza helmet in Italy?
Oh, man. All right, Ben, do you have some words of wisdom for us this week?
Yeah. It's a little niche this weekend, or this week. It's Tuesday. No, it's Monday. Shoot. But I'm going backpacking, as you may have heard, and I've been doing a lot of, not really research, but I like to cross my I's and dot my T's on the weather that we're going to be going into. And, at, you know, 6,000 or 7,000 feet of elevation, you have a chance of it being 50 degrees at night or it being 25 degrees at night. It's really hard to tell. So I'm packing my synthetic fill 0-degree bag just in case, because it packs down into a 20-liter compression. But I do have a 20-degree bag, in air quotes, 20 degrees, that I could have brought, but I decided against it because it is not 20-degree rated, I don't think. I think that's actually a lie. You might survive in it if it was 25 degrees, but or 20 degrees, but you'd not be comfortable at all. So
you'll survive, but you won't thrive.
Yeah, exactly. And you might not even survive. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
But yeah, never trust the temperature ratings on sleeping bags unless you like test it on like a one night trip or in temperatures that are a little warmer. Just, you know, kind of get the vibe, see what other people think who have also tested it. And never be afraid to pack a sleeping bag liner with you to boost the temperature a little bit, because the worst thing that you could do on a 3-night backpacking trip is not get any sleep and be super cold all the time.
Good stuff. Are you hiking the Sisters or Mount Hood or what?
Sisters.
Sisters, yeah, classic.
Yeah, a little easier than Hood, but Hood with all the fires and
yeah,
stuff like that, I figured it's better just to stay a little closer to Central Oregon.
Yeah, I've been, that's kind of a life goal of mine, is to do the Sisters at some point.
Yeah, yeah, I'm excited to do it. I've never really hiked that area before. I usually either go, you know, kind of like closer to Oak Ridge or I actually really like going up into Wallawa Wilderness, but that's really far away.
And that's a ways, yeah.
I don't really get the chance
it's gorgeous, though.
To drive it's... 7 or 8 hours to literally the most gorgeous part of any part of the United States you'll ever see.
That is very debatable, but I like the notion there.
Like, not even
there.
Fair. Like, it's insane.
I mean, have you been to Olympic National Park?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, you can stop talking then. no, I agree. It is gorgeous up there.
It's the nicest part of Oregon, I think. It's the most picturesque part of Oregon.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that one. But there's a lot of great spots in the Northwest. Olympic in Washington, Glacier in Montana, which I actually haven't been to. I've just camped outside of it many times.
Very cool.
Like, I guess actually I did cross a stream and I think I was technically in the park illegally. But we don't need to talk about that on the internet.
It's Montana. It's just yeah, do whatever you want on.
Right. I got a speeding ticket and they let me pay it on the side of the road. Like, it's Montana things.
That's insane. I love that.
It was awesome. All right. One more piece of news. Ben had this news last year. I have this news this year. I am officially engaged for anyone who cares.
Woo-hoo. You don't care.
Yes, I don't have a girlfriend anymore. I've got a fiance instead.
Should have led with that. No longer have a girlfriend.
Yeah, I should have. That would have been funny.
That's the thumbnail for this.
Yeah, I no longer have a girlfriend. All right. So for those of you who care about that, there's your update.
Yep,
We are
congratulations.
very happy. Thank you, Ben. You were there, so
Yep.
yeah,
Yeah,
Ben
you
did
helped
help me make
lie
it
to your
happen.
girlfriend.
Yep.
And that's why she's
Lying
no
to your
longer your
girlfriend
girlfriend.
is always the best policy. And you know what lying to my girlfriend got me? It got me to not have a girlfriend anymore. So
Exactly. And you got free wine.
I did get free wine, yes. So yeah. Anyway, very happy. She said yes, and so now she gets to watch F1 with me for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. Can we get a like and subscribe for Nathan getting engaged?
Yeah, not for Ben though, because that ship has sailed.
Too late.
Yeah, Ben got married, so that's already over with. How dare you get married, Ben?
I know. I don't
You
know.
don't
I
even
like
have
being
a
married.
fiance anymore.
I
You've
know.
just got a wife.
Just a wife.
Just a wife. I'm
Hey,
sorry,
she's
Emily. I
pretty
know you listen to
cool.
this.
She plays video
She is
games with
pretty
me.
cool.
Not many
She
wives
doesn't
that
like
play video
salt.
games with you.
Yeah.
She hates salt on her trout.
Actually, no, she likes salt. She just doesn't like it. Anyway. Ben's wife will insult the waiter no matter where we are. And that's all you need to know about that. So,
But
thank you,
Emily, if you're
everybody.
listening to me, he's lying. Please.
Thank you so much for watching slash listening, everybody. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website at revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in the comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N underscore squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, X, I think. No, that's Twitter. I already said that. All the things.
We're not calling it X. Nobody calls it X still.
Right. We'll be back in a week to talk about the IndyCar races in Milwaukee and the Formula One Italian Grand Prix. But until then, I will stay cringy, and I have been Nathan.
And I've been.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later, though.